proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We continue our examination of the ninth chapter of Hebrews by looking at the phrase, ashes of a heifer. By that phrase, the author referred to a ceremony described in the 19th chapter of the book of Numbers. God told the Israelites to bring a red heifer to Moses and to Aaron. This animal could not have any spot nor blemish, nor could it have come under a yoke. Aaron's oldest surviving son, Eleazar, would take that animal outside of the Israeli encampment, where others would kill it. After that, the Jews had to burn that animal's corpse and cast cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet into the ashes. When that was done, quote, "A man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation," unquote. The ashes of the red heifer, therefore, symbolize the purification for sin. It functioned as a type of Jesus Christ in that regard. The animal's required physical perfection pointed to the absence of sin in the life of Jesus Christ. Moreover, just as the heifer died outside of the Israeli camp, the Savior's atonement on Calvary took place outside of the city of Jerusalem. Yet the ceremony involving the ashes of the red heifer functioned as an external ritual, providing only a means of outward cleansing, having no power to make an Israelite righteous in the sight of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, by contrast, does have the power to make a person righteous. As John wrote in the first chapter of his first epistle, quote, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin," unquote. The Savior offered himself to God as a morally pure sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews affirmed in the fourth chapter of his epistle that Jesus Christ was, quote, "in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin," unquote. Peter asserted, though, that Jesus Christ, quote, "did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." The Savior offered himself as a sacrifice through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Paul connected the new birth, the Savior's atonement, and the Holy Spirit when writing in the third chapter of the Epistle to Titus. He penned these words, quote, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior," unquote. Jesus Christ offered himself as a spotless sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet foretold that the coming Messiah, quote, "had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Peter again described him in 1 Peter 1 as, quote, "a lamb without blemish and without spot." In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul wrote how God made Jesus Christ, quote, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin," unquote. A major effect of the Savior's atonement involved purging a person's conscience. The word rendered as purge in Hebrews chapter 9 came from a Greek word that transliterated, denoted what we call catharsis or cleansing. Peter used that same word before the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. When referenced to how God acted toward the household of Cornelius, Peter stated that God had, quote, "put no difference between us and them," purifying or catharizing, purifying their hearts by faith. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Thus, it needs cleansing, cleansing that only the shed blood of Jesus Christ can and will provide. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.